Like if you turn your Bibles to Psalms, the 33rd chapter, please. Begin with the 11th verse and going through the 22nd verse. This is Psalm 33, please. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looked from heaven, and behold the sons of men. From the place of the habitation he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts alike. He considers all their works. There is no king save by the multitude of any host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eyes of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death, to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our hearts shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. That thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. May God have acceptable blessings in Jesus' name. You often wonder how David had his hands on so many things, or how he knew so much, and why his words are so powerfully and very moving words. You often wonder why that he had so much, as one writer says, he had so much going for him when he wrote his Psalms. When we look at the Bible in our nation in which we live today, we're finding out that there is a tremendous forsaking of what is right. When the Lord and I worked on a message for this day, I was going to speak about what is wrong with the nation wherein you live, but I don't think he wants me to talk about what's wrong. You know what's wrong. If you read the newspaper, heard the news, if you've been anywhere near a television or any kind of communication, you already know what's wrong with the world. But I would like to talk to you just a few minutes about what God is going to give us and what is so right about you being here in this place on this day to worship him. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. 11th verse, 33rd chapter of Psalms. The thoughts of his heart unto all generations. You know, the Lord is thinking about every one of you. He thought about you before you even showed up today. In fact, to tell you the truth, he thought about you before you were ever born. Because his all-seeing eye is everywhere and about all of us. David says of him, he says that God knew when he sat down and when he rose up. He said that he knew what was on his right hand and what was on his left hand. He said, your ways are unsearchable and past finding out. So if you were speaking a message to the nation today, if you were telling all the people of the world, not just this little church in the mountains of North Carolina, but telling the whole nation what is good about being where we are. The first thing is divine counsel from God. Do you listen to him? Do you hear him? Can you hear his voice when no one else is speaking? And in the times when everything is so quiet that you can hear a pin drop, you can still hear God. You can still feel the presence of his Spirit as it flows over everything that's his. The Bible says of him, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Do you know he got up thinking about the African nation this morning? Somebody said, he didn't get up. He's been up all the time. He's from everlasting to everlasting. No, he looked on the world today and thought about all of us. From the little children so hungry in Africa that they're about to die. To the people on the other side of the world that are suffering under the tyranny of dictators. He looked upon the people of China this morning. They got up and some of them were going to bed like we got up this morning. But he still was watching and looking. You know what he's searching for? He's searching for those people that will listen to him, that will hear his voice, that will communicate with him, that will open their eyes and see him, and that with all their heart they will seek to know him as God and their Heavenly Father. The Bible says this of the nations, or the nation, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. You know, we've claimed the Lord for ever so many years. We worked so hard to get out from the tyranny of the dictators and the oppressors and the great tyranny of all the kings that tried to rule over us. We looked for a place so that we could get away from all that, so we could go and worship, so that we could go and have peace, so that we could enjoy what God intended for us to have to start with. You know what his intention was when he made the Garden of Eden? A peaceful place. You know what his intention was for putting man and woman in that place? To have a place where they could enjoy their lives forever. That was what he was doing. But you know something about us? One of the things that human beings have is they have a problem with things all being right. They have a difficulty with everything being perfect. I do not know what's wrong with all of us that we have such a difficulty with everything that is perfect. Everything is good. Why do we have such a difficulty with this? Because we all seem to have that nature of the two people in the garden. When everything is perfect, we seem to want something different. I read a sign one time, plastered up, red letters. Stop. Difference. Unneeded. Somebody says, what does that mean? You don't need the difference. You don't need all these things. Paul said, if you have all these things and have contentment with godliness, is great gain, he says. The Bible says here, this nation that we live in today, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people have chosen whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. This is a nation that needs salvation from God. If you haven't watched it lately, I think you would notice that it does have need of God's salvation through Jesus Christ. If you haven't noticed lately, I think even the White House and the stock market and several other places need a good dose of God's salvation and his son Jesus. And if you haven't noticed lately, people's hearts just seem to be way over here and away from God, even in the church today. They seem to be trying to find something different. He says in the 13th verse, the Lord, he says, the Lord looketh from heaven, and he beholdeth all the sons of men. Everybody is looked at by God this morning. He's peering into your mind. He's peering into your thoughts. He's in your head whether you want him there or not. The only place that he is not, and that he would like to be, is in your heart. But that's not saying that he's not up here trying to intervene in your mind so that you will allow him through his son Jesus to be here in your heart. We have a scripture selection this morning from the book of Deuteronomy, the 4th chapter and the 36th verse. Who has that one? Okay.
Out of heaven he bade thee to hear his voice, that he might instruct thee, and upon earth he showed thee his great fire, and thou heardest his word out of the midst of the fire.
You know, Moses stood there and he saw a burning bush. Now, if suddenly the pulpit would catch on fire and I'd be standing in the midst of it, what would you think? Probably one roasted little preacher. Instead of having chicken after lunch, you'd have roasted pastor. But to see the thing about it is God is speaking to all of us. He spoke to Moses out of the fire, and he was giving him instructions about how that he was going to be the one of the most powerful leaders of his time. I believe God is speaking today, but that same fire, I believe he's speaking more powerful than he did in those times, because I believe John says that I baptize you with water to repentance, but he that cometh after me shall baptize you how? By the Holy Spirit and with fire. Is the Lord trying to light up your life, make a difference in your life, open your eyes so you can see? Wouldn't it get your attention if suddenly everything caught on fire up here? I know it would. Because God is trying desperately to talk to us. He wants to speak with us. He wants us to speak to Him. He wants to have that relationship. This nation needs what? It needs for its people to come back to God. It needs for its people to hear God. It needs for its people to believe in God. It needs for its people to forsake their monies and forsake everything they've got. This is going not to be anything but just total nothing when Jesus arrives anyway. So what is important about this is that you focus on what is important, and that is in God through Jesus Christ. God anxiously wants to give you the kingdom of God. He anxiously wants you to inherit eternal life and live throughout eternity in His kingdom and glory. That's His whole purpose. His whole agenda since Jesus has arrived in His presence is to save the world through Jesus Christ. Did you know that? The whole agenda of God now is to preach the gospel unto all nations. He that believeth and is baptized shall what be? Saved. Isn't that God's whole purpose now, from now till Jesus arrived, that God has made this possible so you and I can take the Word to the world so it can be saved? The world is in need of salvation. The next scripture is 1 Kings 19 and 12. Who has 1 Kings 19 and 12?
After the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, a still small voice.
You know, we've got microphones up here. Kevin, we put them all together right here. I could probably make a couple of your hairs stand up here and two or three back here if we've amplified everything. But God doesn't need amplification, does He? All He needs is for you to listen. I thought about that when they said the president didn't have he was not going to go to all these churches. He'd been visiting all these places, but the people were very upset because when they went to church, when the president was there, they couldn't find a seat to sit down. They couldn't have a church to worship in because the president came. It wouldn't bother me. I just have my ushers out there keeping the ones out that we didn't know. Till he got in and got set down. If we had room, we'd set the ones out there and bring them in. I would make sure the good citizens of this United States got to sit in his church with the president and his wife and children. See, the thing about it is that you and I need to make our prayers directed towards God for this nation and for that president. Somebody said, well, it's all going to, you know, where in a basket. I said, no, it's not. Everything that's happening in this world is going to the throne of God in the presence of His Son Jesus, and the world is going to stand there soon and very soon. They're all going to see my and your Father's glory. They are going to see His Son, our Savior, very soon. You think about an eye-opening experience. There are going to be some people's eyeballs probably laying out here when they see all that happening at once. He said, from the place of His habitation, He looketh upon all the what? Inhabitants of the earth. He's looking on everyone. From the little one that was born this morning, just barely in the world, to that 100-and-some-year-old person that made their struggle out of bed into this day. Everybody. Everybody He sees them. He hears them. He knows them. Isn't it wonderful to be known of God? Isn't it wonderful the Lord to know your name? We sing a song, He knows my name. Does He really know your name? Does He call your name? Are you hearing His voice? And is He saying something to you? Is He calling to you and saying, really, all you've got to do is make some changes and accept my Son Jesus truly in your life? You know, some people, they accept Jesus so far in, but Jesus can't get all the way into their lives. Because they can't rid themselves of all the things that they have in their lives that are hindering them from being the child of God. So many people today are carrying around so much stuff and so many things that doesn't belong in their life. The thing they need most of all is for God to allow His Son Jesus to come in your life. I was talking about Sunday school, about refining gold. I didn't know this. It's kind of some information that kind of got somewhere filed back there. Suddenly flew frontwards last night when I studied. This morning, last night when I studied my Sunday school lesson. Long ago, they actually melted down their gold and put it in little bars or little chunks. Now there was refined gold. Purest gold, they call it. That was the best gold. But some people really tried to be a little bit sneaking because they wouldn't refine it till it's totally pure gold. They would leave some of the stuff in it. So when they go try to trade it off, the thing about it is that lots of times they would fool the people for that being pure gold. It wasn't pure gold. The way they found out which was pure gold, they would put a bar of the pure stuff over here and a bar of the slightly unrefined stuff over here. Guess what happened? The pure stuff sunk the other one because it was pure. The thing that God is struggling so hard to do in our nation is to make us realize that we have to be the purest of gold in a nation that seems to be grievously departing from God. This morning I heard a song on the radio as I was riding down the highway. And the thing about it is, it said, where is God's name? And they mentioned all the places where God's name was. Do you know God's name is written right over the top of that thing up there in Congress behind those... the capital of this nation, you know it's written in about every one of those monuments, written in stone. Then I listened to the song. He says, the only place that God's name seems to not be written is in the hearts of His people. They've chiseled it out in granite. They've chiseled it out in marble. They've chiseled it out in everything. But people have not allowed God's name and God's Son and God's love and God's power and God's Holy Spirit to write His name in their hearts. Ezekiel writes, he says, God's people's hearts are like ardent stones. Hard. Hard past hard. Somewhat spiritually bulletproof. So what do I do to get these things to happen in my life? What do I do to make things go to where it seems to be? I believe we have Psalms 50 and 3 now.
Psalms 50 and 3. May our God come and not keep silence. Fire devours before him, and it is very tempestuous around him.
Our God what?
Our God come and keep silence. Keep silence. Not keep silence.
Do we feel the moving of the Lord? Do you feel Him moving? Do you feel His hand moving over you? Do you feel Him as he comes by? When Moses saw His hinder parts in the mountain, that mountain moved. That mountain actually moved. Those rocks actually shifted back and forth. That whole mountain quaked. For what reason? Because the power and the presence of the Almighty God moved in front of His servant Moses. Is God moving in your life? Are you as close to God as you would like to be right now? I'm not close enough. The only time I'm going to get close is when I see Him in New Jerusalem. That's close. That will be the close. But the thing that you and I need to realize is that we need to draw near to Him. God is not away from us. God is ever present with us. The thing about us is that we become like, what's that little thing, the maze? You ever been in one of them? I remember where I was at. Well, I was in one time. The thing about it is, you've got to always keep your composure up here. And don't get flustered every time you run into one of the places where this stops. What you've got to do is back up, consider where you just came from, always remembering you cut the corner back there so far and came this way. And then go back and retrace your steps. And then find that one that goes out and around and back and then out the other side. Many people's lives are in a maze today because their lives are so messed up with everything. Their focus is on the world. The focus is on sickness. The focus is on money. The focus is on everything. The focus is on their families. The focus is on their wives, their children. Their focus is on everything that's in the world. Their whole mind and whole everything is the world. It doesn't belong to God. We worry about our jobs. You know, He's told us that we shouldn't have fretful things about this. Then He tells us if there's one little bird falls out of the sky, He takes knowledge of it. He knows exactly. He feeds them every one every day. You ever watch them run around and eat? After a good little drizzle rain like this, a little thunder, boom, boom, them robins out there, they just blanket my yard. I don't know. I must have 100,200,300 worms out there. And suddenly, all of a sudden, it's like massive robin raid. Everybody comes out, and you'll see him jerking them things out about that long. There he goes. He's watching over every one of them. Why shouldn't you feel like He's watching over you? Why shouldn't you feel that He's trying to touch every part of your life and change everything that needs to be changing to make you His forever? Do you know that's why God wants you to change? That's the reason God wants to apply His Son's blood to your life. It's to get you in that place which that you are His forever. Some people just... I don't know. My mama said one time, take a thing to water, but you can't make it drink. There's a few times I think she sat on my head because she did make me do some things I didn't want to do, which today I don't regret because I still think about them and I still believe what she said was right. Next verse to look at is Psalms 97 and 3.
Fire goeth before him and burneth up his enemies round about.
You know they're going to be afraid when he shows up, aren't they, Brother Jim? You know the enemies of God and those that have transgressed His laws and walked contrary and done all these evil things in the stock market and done all these other things, guess what they're going to be doing?
They're not going to be rushing out to sing and lifting up their heads and rejoicing, for the redemption draweth nigh. They're going to be hightailing it somewhere back that way to find the biggest hole in the ground, the biggest cave in the side of the hill, anywhere they can to flee from the Lord and from His presence. And they are doing that. Why? Fear. Fear. They know what He's coming to do, don't they? They don't have questions about it. They may play dumb, but I guarantee you they all will get real smart when the Lord Jesus shows up in the glory of His Father with all the holy angels. I promise you they will get smart then. Then how should I pray for this nation? How should my voice go to God for these people? What should I say? I believe every one of you sitting in this place that God hears your voice, and He hears you because He loves you in Jesus Christ. I think some of you have ceased to talk to Him as much as you should. And I think it's time we renewed that, don't you? You ever feel like God's a whole, He's a mountain away, or He's way out there? You know why He's way out there? Because you've not been right here with Him. You know why He feels like He's at a distance? He's at a distance because you put Him at a distance. My mama had a Comanche scream. She could stand on her porch on Delwood Drive and she could sound off, and you could hear it over at Moselle's house as clear as a bell. And you knew when you heard that, you better make tracks and soon. Now, Beatrice wasn't that loud. Beatrice was silent but deadly. Truthfully. Mark that on your list. You could count on Beatrice to tell you something. She meant it. And she didn't chew her thing but one time. You heard it. It's amazing what you learn about when you live around folks like that. We could spend an hour talking about how the Lord taught me things from them people. The thing about it is, He said, a horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eyes of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. You ever thought about a big old eyeball looking down at you? You ever seen that? I seen that one time in a cartoon. And this big old eyeball just came out and just kept right on top of this little fellow and watched him everywhere. You ever think about a big old eyeball sticking out of somewhere, just keeping them on you all the time? If we talk about Big Brother now, Big Brother is a lot bigger than you think Big Brother is. You better wake up, my children. Big Brother is a whole lot bigger than you think Big Brother is. They know more about you than you know about them. And at any given moment, all they got to do is tap in a couple of numbers in your name, and they know everything they need to know and more. Tap that in, click a word, punch a thing. They just emptied your bank account and locked everything you got down to nothing. They can do it in one punch on a machine. You're officially poor, poor. They can do it. Do we like that idea? I don't care for it. I don't like the idea insinuation that somebody can take everything and just a punch of a key, but they can do it. I don't care about that. Because the thing about it is, who is the master of my destiny? He's the master of the universe. He is the creator of the ends of the earth. He is the Almighty God. There is none like Him. None ever will be. He is from everlasting to everlasting. He is God. And there is nothing whatsoever can they touch that is His. They tried it in the fiery furnace. They tried it in the lion's den. They've tried it everywhere in the whole wide world. I promise you, what is God's is God's. Let them take it all. I didn't need it anyway. If he's feeding the little birds, I'm not worried about mine. And if he can take ravens from and feed an old man some stuff and he goes in the strength of it for 40 days, think about what he could do with me. He could really take care of me and you both. Behold, the eyes of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their souls from death and to keep them alive when? In famine. When everything is gone, God is at his greatest. When all is obliterated and there is nothing else, God is greatest. He will always be the greatest. He is the greatest. He is the exalted one. He is the glorified one. He knows everything. He's got everything. Everything belongs to him. Did you know that? We had our youth camp just recently. You just wonder why people would doubt him when he can rain manna from heaven. Did you all get up and find biscuits in the yard this morning? Nope. One of these little young ones says, "Did that come with gravy, preacher?" I said, "I don't think so, honey." He said, "Well, it'd be much of a biscuit then, would it be, preacher?" I said, "I don't know about that now." I said, "Biscuit with a little bit of honey on it would have been really good stuff out in the middle of nowhere. I'm sure of that." He's delivering their souls from death. He's keeping them alive in famine. He said, "Our soul waited for the Lord. He is our help, our shield." You know what help is? It's something that runs underneath and lifts up. That's what help is. Jesus is telling us about his Father. He's telling about how God does great things. He's doing wonderful things. And then David speaks of him. He said, "He took my feet out of the miry clay and set it on a solid rock. I was sinking in my own mess, in my own sin, in my own life, and doing everything my way. I'm sinking and going out of sight." And suddenly David said, "I prayed to God, and he took me out of the miry clay and set my feet on a solid rock." And established what, David? My goings. Established my goings. Showed me how to go. Pointed the way for me. You ever had somebody step in and just tell you where you're going? God can. I believe we have another verse now. It's found in Acts 2:3.
"And there appeared to him blood and tongues like as a fire, and sat upon each of them."
Wouldn't you like to be in the church some Sunday morning when the Holy Spirit cut loose? Wouldn't you like to be there? Wouldn't you like to be smack dab in the middle of what was happening on that church day? Suddenly everybody was speaking how? With cloven tongues of fire. Would you like to be so lit up that you're speaking for God? Somebody says, "As preachers speak for God." My tongue had never caught on fire. But those people spoke with cloven tongues of fire. Do you know how God is speaking to you? By that same power and that same Spirit. He's speaking. He's begging to be heard. Can't you hear him? He's begging for you to listen. Just listen. "But Lord, I've got all these problems, and I've got sickness, and I'm so weak, and I'm so tired, and I've not got any money, and I don't know what I'm going to do, Lord, and everything is such a mess, Lord. I'm just in a predicament, Lord." I don't think there's anything that God can't deliver you out of. I don't think there's anything greater than God. You think, number me one thing that is greater than God. There isn't anything greater than God. Somebody said the man of sin is going to be try to be like greater than God, but I've got a rude awakening for him, because he's going to come and he's going to be seeing Jesus in all his glory, and he's going to have a wake-up call, a really serious wake-up call. David speaks of the name of the Lord and rejoicing in it and trusting in it. He says in the 21st verse, he says, "For our hearts shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name." You trust him? We hear that song, "Lay all on the altar." Do you lay all on the altar? Do you really do that? Do you trust him that much? Do you lay it all out there and give it to him? Everything? I think sometimes we snitch. We have to have a little bit for ourselves. You know, we can't quit worrying, because we just got to have that little bit of whatever to worry about. Why do you want to worry? I asked a lady that one time, I said, "Why do you want to worry?" I said, "God's in charge of everything. Why do you want to worry?" "I don't know, preacher, but I just got to worry." That's what she said. I said, "Ma'am, if you've got the faith once delivered to the saints," I said, "if your name's written in heaven, and if you're one of God's own, why should you worry or fret?" She turned around, pointed her finger at me, she said, "I'm worried about you." I said, "Ma'am, don't worry about me." I said, "The Lord has got me. I have nothing to fear." You and I are faced with something in the nation we live in today. We just celebrated the nation's birthday, the great day of what? Independence. Are you truly independent? Do you know today the government has more fingers in your business than they had back when the country first started? You know today that we've fled taxation? Do you know that we are going into a larger amount of taxation? Guess who's going to pay the bill for all that money we just gave to all them rich people? You and me. And our generations. They name it the other generation. How many generations is going to still be paying for this long after you and I go take our nap in the soil of the earth? I had my stuff paid in full. I don't owe nothing as far as this world is concerned. Somebody said, "Oh, you do. You owe your mortgage." Nope. I pay that every time. I don't owe it. I just pay it. Everything in my life has been bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. I stand before you debt-free in the presence of the Lord. Ever thought about that? Debt-free. No sins attached. No bad things attached. Oh, I make mistakes. Everybody does. But you know, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How do we get that to happen? If we confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What will make America a better place? What will make America that nation that God sees? The nation in verse 12, he said, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." Do you know he chose you for his? You are his. You are his inheritance. You are his people. The sheep of his pasture. You are the ones that belong to him. So if you belong to him more, I believe that God will change the nation because of you. I believe that Babylon was blessed because Daniel was there. I believe Nebuchadnezzar was blessed because the Hebrew children were there. I believe everywhere you put God's people, I believe people are blessed. I believe that just serving God and being his through Christ Jesus blesses the nation you live in. They don't even know your name hardly in Washington, but God knows it in heaven. And God will bless this nation because of you. when we try to reason out why the world goes in the way it does, we have to go back to the situation that he said, remember the days of Lot, remember the days of Noah. What were the biggest problems in those times? People totally left God. They totally was engrossed in their alternative lifestyles. They were totally engrossed in their sinfulness and the lust of the flesh. They were totally engrossed in all the things that pleasured them. And he said, when they were this way, he says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. You, my people, are the answer to this nation. You, my people, are the answer to this world and what's going on in it. Somebody says, well, it seems like the world is winning so many things. I've got news for you. The world is not going to win. If I read it right, Billy Kennedy, and I was talking one time, he said, you know something? I read the beginning, I read the end. And you know, he says, we win in the end. That's exactly the way it is. We know the beginning and we know the end. And we know, if we know Jesus, we win in the end. We are His. I don't know how many more national birthdays we will have. I have no idea. But I'm looking forward to the day when a nation is born all at once. I'm looking for a time when all the God's people come up out of their graves and all God's people are raised up in the likeness of Christ. I'm looking for a time when a nation that regards the Lord, and that nation comes all up in the resurrection unto life eternal. May God bless.